And when you hear the declared word of God, and when you govern your life obedient to his word, there's a foundation that's laid. Matter of fact, Jesus put it this way, that the winds and the waves and the storms of life can come, but you're going to stand because you've built it upon the rock, Christ Jesus. So that's why it's important that you and I know the truth, devote ourselves to the truth, being people of truth, knowing the truth, to be able to speak the truth in love. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 18, it says this, but grow. There's that grow word again, isn't it? How many know God called us to grow up? Last week, we talked a little bit about maturity, immaturity in Christ, being a child, being a baby, and that's okay for a season. But every now, you got to grow up. Amen. All right? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forevermore. Can I tell you, when you grow in the grace and the knowledge of God, your life will bring glory and honor to him. I mean, it's the product of our lives as we grow in him, as we learn truth, the knowledge of God, that the end product of that is my words, my life, my actions, my thoughts bring glory and honor to him. And that is the highest cause of mankind to bring glory and honor to him. Amen? Yeah. Let's pray. Lord, in the next few moments, captivate our hearts with your word. Help us, Lord, to be men and women who pursue your truth, who grow in that truth. God, help us to lay the foundation so that we can bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You see, when we're talking about growing in truth, we're really talking about pursuing Jesus. Because after all, it's Jesus who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only door. And the more you know about Jesus, the more you're going to know about God the Father. And that's why it's important. You see, truth, I believe this with all my heart, truth will cause your love to increase. The more truth you get about God, the more you're going to love him. The more truth you get about Jesus, the more you're going to love him. And the more you love God, the more you will love the people God puts in your life. You see, our target to bring glory and honor to God is contrary to the world. Our target to grow in truth, to become people of love, is contrary to the world. It goes against the spirit of the age we live in. This is what Jesus said of the spirit of this age in Matthew 24:12. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. You know what that means? Your heart gets hard. Your heart gets callous. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, it talks about your heart getting seared with a hard iron so that nothing moves you. And that really is the danger of listening to the news. When you hear in Chicago of the multitude of people who are being shot, you know, we just kind of, it ought to move us. It ought to cause us to pray. Did you hear me? Truth ought to move us. And God help us to do that. But if you're not careful, it'll make your heart cold. See, the increase of wickedness does that. Truth will cause your love to increase. The pursuit of truth, I'll get it right in a minute, will cause your love for God to increase. It will cause your love for others to increase. This is what I found to be true, and you've heard me say it over and over again. When a husband will fall in love with Jesus, he will do what he wants to do first, is love his wife better. That's why when someone says to me, I don't know if I love Jesus, but I'm not sure about my wife. I know they're blowing smoke. They have the biggest masquerade going on in the world, because listen to me, when you love God, You will want to do everything there is to love your spouse. Amen? I could feel that. Because I'm telling you, it's a terrible disgrace to God when you say you love him and then you can't even love the person you are called to love. Huh? Yeah. See, truth will cause you to be secure. It will have the foundation that you need. It will be secure in who you belong to. Amen? I'm glad I belong to Jesus. Huh? It will cause you to be secure of your value in the kingdom of God, your value in the plan and purposes of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says this, I was formed in my mother's womb. I was formed and knit together for his purpose, for his glory. Only in a knowledge in the pursuit of truth do I get to connect with his purpose, get to connect with his plan. And there's something so fulfilling about knowing you're doing the will of God, knowing you're doing his plan. It's something amazing. Amen. It'll give you energy in the morning. It'll give you energy on Sunday. It's important that you and I grow in truth. That means we grow in wisdom. Wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 2, 1-8, I'm just going to read this. I know it's a little long, but I'm going to read it anyway because Young at Heart's having dinner after church, and you're going to love it. That smoked ham back there feels. Can we close in prayer now? No. Sorry. Just teasing you. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1-8. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you. Who's the commands? What's the commands? It's the word of God. All right? Turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of those of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Man, that is beautiful. Here's the first thing he says. Number one, truth studied is truth stored up. You know how many of you ever, just remember with me just for a moment, back in school, you had this whole prayer. Lord, help me do good on this test. And I had one teacher just blow that all out of the water. Said, well, I appreciate you praying. I know all of you have done that. But the question is, you know, God only takes what you've studied and brings to remembrance what you've studied, what you've stored up. The rest of you is in trouble. No matter how much you pray. I found a lot of grace. But. Truth study is truth stored up. Truth has an ear for wisdom and a heart for understanding. Truth searches out for pursuing wisdom, ends in the fear of the Lord and the finding of the knowledge of God. We need a little more reverence for God in our world. You know, we should be concerned. Is this going to offend God? We're always worried about if it's going to offend our brother. Can I tell you? If it won't offend God, it won't offend me. Did you hear that? Our prayer ought not to be if it's going to offend somebody. Is it going to offend God? Here's the truth. If it offends your brother, it's probably offending God. It's a terrible thing when you become a law unto yourself. And all you want to do is please yourself. your whole about yourself. And it's I'm happy, and everybody else is just going to have to get over it. No. Can I tell you, we serve one another. We're a part of the family of God. Amen? Yes. You see, the knowledge of God involves a relationship with Him. And aren't you glad we can have a relationship with God? And here's what you know about God. The more you know about God, the more knowledge you have about God, the more you realize you don't know about God. And the more you know about God, the more you realize you don't know about God. Because He's beyond fathoming Him out. He's beyond anything we could ever comprehend. And one day, the scripture says, we're going to see Him face to face. But until then, God, help me to stay hungry for truth. Help me to stay hungry for more of You. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we sing that song, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh in this place. Because without the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of the Living God coming down and showing us, we're held captive by our own ideas, by our own imaginations, by our own flesh, and we can get all kinds of messed up without the help of the Holy Spirit and His Word. Yeah, knowledge. The knowledge of God involves a relationship. The knowledge of God involves fellowship. I love to fellowship with God in worship. You know, the best times of my worship is not right over here. My best times of my worship is with Him alone. You've never seen me dance like I dance. And you're never going to see me dance. I shouldn't have said that. The knowledge of God involves fellowship. It involves fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It involves fellowship with you and me. And together we study, we grow. Iron sharpens iron. We need one another. The knowledge of God involves experience. Aren't you glad you can experience the God who created it all? Yeah. Amen. I love the presence of God. I love to feel the presence of God. But listen, there have been times when I'm at worship, I don't feel the presence of God. And it doesn't mean that He's not here. It doesn't mean that He doesn't care about me. It doesn't mean, no, it just means today's not the day. And it's okay. Despite how I feel, He is still worthy of worship. Sometimes I can have a lot of trappings going on in my life. A lot of stuff going on in my life. And a lot of things going good and a lot of things not going bad. Yeah. Bad. But it shouldn't affect the way I worship Him. Because He is worthy of our worship. Amen. Why don't you just slip your hands right now and just worship Him? Would you do that? Just worship. God, I thank You for the breath in my lungs, Lord. Thank You for the privilege of knowing truth. Thank You, Lord, for the fellowship I have in You. Thank You, Lord, that one day I have experienced Your grace, Lord, that brought me into Your family, Lord. God, I thank You for the fellowship that I share. Thank You, Lord, God. Thank You, Lord, for the knowledge of truth in my life. Glory to God. Thank You, Jesus. So here's the dilemma of that knowledge, because knowledge by itself brings about pride in the heart. In 1 Corinthians 1:8, how about food sacrificed to idols? We know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up while love builds up. And that's the danger of just knowing. It builds up. Look what I know. I got 100 on that test. Yeah, but what about life? Aren't you glad the knowledge of God transports? You see, with the knowledge of God ought to come humility. To know Him is to know that you are small and He is big. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Truth studied must move us into wisdom. Wisdom, then, is applied knowledge. It's one thing to have a whole head full of mush, but if you don't know how to apply it to your life so that it brings glory and honor to Jesus, you're in trouble. So that's where wisdom comes into being. Wisdom is about living out what you know. Yeah. So one thing about the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God has a moral integrity. Without moral integrity, without moral integrity, you defame the name of God. You're masquerading. The wisdom of God, the knowledge of God makes you want to live right before Him. Makes you want to live holy before Him. That's why the Bible says, walk righteously before Him. What is righteous living? It's this, living rightly before Him. Amen. Yeah. You see, moral integrity comes from the knowledge of God. Knowing something is not enough. Knowing without action, applied knowledge is wisdom. Knowing without action is foolishness. You know, it's kind of like this, you know. You know, he says, I know porn is bad. That's knowledge. I know porn is bad, but I keep going back to it. I keep going back to it. I'm just using that, but there's a million other things that apply to the whole thing. Do you understand? You know in your head that the Bible says you shouldn't do that, but yet you find yourself going. But knowing porn is wrong is a long way from the wisdom of staying away from what is wrong. So how do you break free? You know what's amazing? There's a new movie coming out, Apollo, Fly the Moon. Right? Space shuttle. Blast off. Can you imagine flying in that space shuttle? Everybody's saying, yeah, I don't know I want to do that. One day I'm going to go through space. It won't be by the ship. Amen? I'm going to be translated from this life to the next. So here's the deal, and this applies to us. Listen to this. You know, they blasted off from this earth and went up around the moon several times, around the orbit several times, and just came back into the Earth atmosphere and landed, parachutes and all that, hit the water. And they described the freedom of being in space, the freedom of walking on the moon without gravity. That must be an amazing thing. You know the hardest part of that journey, the most strenuous stress of that rocket going off is in the first 3 minutes. When that, all the energy, all the thrust of those rockets go into being, all the fuel, the most of the fuel, everything about that rocket happens in the first 3 minutes, and eventually it will break free. It will break free from the gravitational pull of the earth, and then and they're gliding. There's nothing but space. This is what I know. Some of you are struggling with certain things. You get almost released from the gravity and you quit. And you go back. Yeah, I know it's hard. I know it's a struggle. But I'm going to tell you something. If you will break free, you will know what freedom is. And can I tell you this? You can do it. You can do it. How do you know that, Pastor? Because the truth of God's word, because of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because there's fellowship of the saints. Listen, one of the things I know you've got to have if you're going to break the chains of bondage that keep you from in God is you got to have a plan. You got to have a goal. And you got to work that plan. How many of you know God has a plan? And God's not against plans.
Well, we're people of the Spirit, and we just float along and obey the Spirit and do that.
Can I tell you, God created things in 6 days. Do you think God doesn't have a plan? God has a plan. How long is your day? Huh? It's 24 hours. And you know what? Your day is the same as my day. 24 hours. God has a plan. He has an ordered universe. And God has a plan for your life. He has an ordered plan for your life to live in the freedom that Christ came to set you free. And what did Jesus say? The truth shall set you free. Glory to God. Can I tell you, if you will desire to know the truth will set you free from the gravitational pull of sin. And you will know what it is to walk, to live in the joy of the Lord. Glory to God. Wisdom has moral integrity. It also has moral authority. Integrity. Listen to Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Who's he talking about there? He's talking about Jesus. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. And the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Thank God for the Spirit of wisdom. What is that? Jesus called it this, the Spirit of truth. That's the Holy Spirit. He works. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, it says this, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And here's the end product. You don't want to be free from the gravitational pull of things so you can be better. You want to be free so you can know him better. You want to be free so that you can experience him more. Glory to God. Amen? Yeah. Here's another thing that wisdom has. Wisdom has social integrity. I mean, people just need to learn how to treat one another better. Wisdom understands how to treat people, how to respect people, even with different opinions, viewpoints, ideas. Wisdom is not offensive. It is relational in nature. Listen to what James says, James 3:17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submission, full of mercy, and good fruit, impartial and sincere. I love that, because I think people are real smart, but they lack a few things, like being considerate. You know what that means? They don't have the wisdom of heaven, because the wisdom of heaven is considerate. Somebody say amen. We have a lot of smart people running around, but they're not very considerate. Yeah, peace-loving. Boy, do we need a little of that in our world. Where's that going to come from? People who pursue truth. The world's not going to have it. Did you hear me? And don't try to copy the world. Well, they did this. No, you're supposed to copy Jesus. Amen? Do you lack wisdom? Yes! James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Did you say that? Did you hear that last one? It will be what? Given. You mean you can have wisdom? And how do you get wisdom? Ask. Some of you need to really start asking. Wisdom is an amazing thing. And we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Don't be afraid to ask God for wisdom. Why? He gives it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, it says this, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Aren't you glad he's good? Yeah. Glory to God, he's good. He's good. That means this, as we pursue wisdom, as we pursue truth, healthy growth requires some things of us and some things that God has already provided. One of them is this. If you're going to grow healthy, you're going to need some pruning. Anybody ever been pruned? Yeah. Someone said, my wife does a lot of that. If she does it, you probably need it. You had to say that, didn't I, Pastor? Pruning is necessary. Listen, John 15, 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Prune it out of my life. Cut it out of my life, Lord. I want it to be fruitful for your kingdom. Amen. Amen. There are some things you got to let go. And there are some things God takes. Yeah. And I tell you, the hardest is the things I have to let go of. That's harder. It's a whole lot easier when God just says, boop, it's done. And sometimes God tests us. Abraham, take Isaac to the mountain. You're going to sacrifice him. Sometimes he prunes loves out of our lives so that we'll be wholly devoted to him. Yeah. And only to give it back. That's what he did to Abraham. The second thing you're going to need, pruning, and you're going to need water. You can't grow without water. Listen, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, to make her holy. He's talking about the church, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. It's amazing what truth does to us. It washes us. It cleanses us. It aligns our heart, our spirit, our mind, our soul with the passion and power of heaven. That's why Jesus says this. I believe this with all my heart. Greater things shall you do because I go to my Father. Why? Because we've allowed the word of God to wash us, to cleanse us, to transform us, to be like Jesus. The next thing we're going to need is good soil. I need the worship team to come back. Everybody says, phew, finally. I'm early today. I can fix that, so just hang on. The next thing you're going to need is good soil. Matthew chapter 13, verse 8. Still other seed fell upon good soil where it produced a crop 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. Good soil. You know, in that verse of scripture, he talks about soil with rocks in it. He's talking about soil that's had a lot of weeds in it. He's talked about all kinds of bad soil. And then he talks about good soil and the production of good soil. I don't know about you, but when I came to the Lord, there was a lot of rocks in my soil. I don't know about you, but when I came to the Lord, there were a lot of weeds planted in my soil. And through the working of his word, through the prayer of my own life, I began to pray those rocks out of my life. I began to pray those weeds out of my life. And I'm telling you, there's something dynamic when you recognize a stone, when you recognize a weed growing among the things that God wants to cultivate in your life. And you say, that ought not to be. And you ask for the help of heaven, the wisdom of heaven. And you allow the Holy Spirit to prune and uproot that thing that is defiling what God wants to do in your life. Something supernatural is awaiting you if you'll just let it go. Pursue truth. Pursue it. You see, without all of these things happening, our capacity for wisdom, our capacity for truth is limited.